We begin with prayer. Lord God, cause the lamp of your word to shine on our path so that we may walk in faith and love. Amen. If you've been following the presidential debates, you know that there's a lot of talk about preventing or terminating life in the womb. In order to deal with this matter, what we really need to know is, when does life begin? In order to get the answer to that, we have to go to the one who knows these things. Now, this is not some medical scientist, not some philosopher of this world, and certainly not a politician. God is the only one who knows the answer. He is the one who created all things, who created the human body. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. So that everyone here, as well as everyone on earth, can say, God is my maker. The theory of evolution states that there is no God, and that all things came into existence as a result of a myriad of accidental mutations over billions of years. Well, based on this belief, people look at human life as an extension of lower life forms. That means that all we are is an organized bunch of cells, essentially no different than a slug. The only difference, I would say, would be that we have more cells and they're more highly organized. So if you don't have any conscience pangs about dropping a rock on a slug, you shouldn't have any problems with destroying a blob of cells in the womb of a woman. But of course, the theory of evolution is a flight into the rarefied air of imagination. Those who believe in divine creation see things clearly. They see what life is, how it began, how it continues, and what's going to happen when our earthly existence comes to an end. The psalmist said, "You formed me, you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb." Whether you talk about a zygote, or a blastocyst, or an embryo, or a fetus, that's the real me, according to the psalmist. If that's not enough evidence, then consider these passages. Psalm 51, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." There's no sin in a blob of undefined cells. So David is saying that that zygote was him. Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Then comes the story of John the Baptist, when he was still a fetus. "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." A little later, Elizabeth said that the babe leaped in her womb for joy. Joy. That fetus had joy. And it was joy in the Savior. If a fetus is not a human being, how can there be joy? Especially this kind of joy. Of course, our Maker shows us that there is more to us than the body. More to us than mere cells. We are also spiritual beings, both soul and body. When we want to know the moment when life begins, what we're actually asking is, when does the body have a soul? When does that one cell, that zygote, become me? God took the dust of the earth and fashioned it into a perfect human body. However, that clay mannequin did not become anybody. It did not become a living being until God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Only then did Adam become a living soul. Only then did Adam become man. So when did God breathe the breath of life into me? When did lifeless cells become a living soul? Well, I can go back to the passages I quoted earlier, and you will come to the conclusion that soul and body were joined together at the moment of conception. Within the womb, there was a soul and a body, and it was me, the real me. As we consider the subject of abortion, we should take note of what Jeremiah says. Because he did not kill me from the womb, that my mother might have been my grave. Well, there's context here, however the words stand on their own. Is there anything more clearly stating that the termination of a pregnancy is the killing of a person? Listen again. He did not kill me from the womb that my mother might have been my grave. But there's more, much more. Our lifetime on this earth is our time of grace. It is our time, the time for us to be recipients of the grace of God, time for us to come to faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. From an earthly perspective, from our way of seeing things, when a pregnancy is terminated, a baby's life is terminated. His time of grace is terminated. We give thanks to God that He has made us and fashioned us in the womb, that He has protected us until our birth, that He has granted to us the time of grace that we are now enjoying. How many times have we heard the good news that our sins are forgiven, that we've been reconciled to God, that there is a place in heaven reserved for me? How many times? Hundreds? Thousands? How blessed we are. God grant that whenever we can, we will do what we can to assure others that to assure that others will have their time of grace and the same kind of exposure to the gospel message as we have had. Let us join in hymn 369, verses 1, 4, and 6. 369, 1, 4, and 6. study cleaners are asked to meet with Paul Heinze over here under the basket.
Thank you.